The first job I ever had was working in the post office. And one of the things that I had to do was to deliver telegrams. Now, some people, the younger people perhaps might not know what a telegram is. It's one of the messages that used to be sent before there was a thing called a mobile phone and before there was the internet. And a telegram, there was a basic charge for 12 words and then so much after that. And there's a verse in Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, that was often called the Christian faith as it would be in a telegram, because it's about this dozen words. And it says, the good news is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And we're going to be thinking about that today. Our reading spoke about knowing Jesus and the power of the resurrection. And so we're going to think of the truth to be made known, the power to enable us to make it known, and our obedience in making it known. First of all, the truth to be made known. One of the things that we've been watching, many of us, over the last couple of months, is the terrible mess of the post office scandal and the very dramatic presentation of it in the ITV programme, that it struck right home to the consciences of many people, except that the sub-postmasters, many of them, haven't got a penny yet. And it does raise enormous questions about the importance of justice, because justice delayed is so often justice denied. But in the Christian faith, we're not just giving advice. And so often, as we hinted earlier, people think of Jesus just as a nice teacher. It's good for the youngsters to learn and get some advice for living a good example. But the essence of the Christian faith is not just as an example, but that Jesus is the truth behind the universe, made known. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that is the message. That is the distinctive feature of the Christian faith. Many other religions have lots of advice and lots of religious systems. But in Jesus, we have one who says, "I'm God. If you want to see what God is like, if you want to see what life is all about, you see him in me." And so it is important that we focus in on the truth. And on Easter Sunday particularly, we think of the evidence of the resurrection. The truth to be made known. Secondly, the power to make it known. We're always glad to have holidaymakers with us, and one of the things that people like to do is they go to the power station to see what the Hydro Board did all these years ago and the difference it made to society. Well, to some extent, spiritually, this should be the powerhouse of Pitlochry, the spiritual powerhouse that sets about transforming our society, transforming our world. And we so often feel pretty helpless. But the essence of the Christian faith is the power behind the universe, the power that planned the laws of science and nature, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead, and the power available to us. And it's very interesting the way in which this is described in the Bible, because the Bible uses normal words, not churchy speak, but normal words. And there's half a dozen words that are very vivid that are used to describe the power of God. So we're very grateful to those who produce the sheet. So it's a reminder. So let's look at the words, and perhaps when we're maybe using a jug or a walking stick, that may trigger off this note of power. First of all, there's the note of power coming from the person. For example, You could say a policeman has the power to lift somebody. It could be the physical power, but it could also be the warrant card presented to enable the person to be lifted to be arrested. And that comes from who the person is, because he's a policeman. So one of the words that's used for power is the power that comes from God because of who he is, because he's the creator. A second vivid word is the word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Now, dynamite is pretty dull to look at. But when it's used, what a difference it can make. It's been used in the dueling of the A9. And probably, we hope, sometime a bit more will be used. That wasn't a political point, just a hint, if there's any politicians with us. But you see, dynamite isn't meant to be looked at. It's meant to be used. And so the Christian faith is not meant to be looked at. People sometimes say, oh, it's dull, that religious stuff. Of course it may be dull to look at. But when we use it, it transforms people's lives. And we are part of God's people-changing business. The next word is a word, energia, from which we get the word energy. And it means operationally active. After the Second World War, some of the fleet was laid up and mothballed to be taken out in an emergency. And sometimes people think of the Christian faith as just for emergencies and for special occasions. But the word is in sharp contrast to be mothballed, it's operationally active. It's operationally active. He gives us a spiritual energy to cope with all the things that are wrong in our world. And then if you're into baking and cooking, sometimes you have to use a measuring jug. It's used of capacity. A pint jug holds a pint. And the note here is that the God we're dealing with is able. He has the capacity to deal with things. There's nothing too big for God. There's nobody too bad for God. There's no situation too enormous for God. Then, if you're into some of the legal dramas, there's the note of having superior legal and valid power to turn the scales. Sometimes in one of these television legal dramas, yes, that was a powerful speech. It turned the scales. It made a difference. It led to a different result. And that's the note, that the God we're dealing with is a logical God, an honest God, a God of justice, and he wants to turn the scales. He's able to do this. What astonishing God. And then the last of the illustrations that is used is one which perhaps some people might find particularly helpful. I'm not looking at anyone particularly. It's used of a person who has difficulty walking, and they use a stick to support them. Or if you're a gardener and you've got a fragile plant, you put a stake in beside it and that supports it. And there's a note of the power of God that's there to support us, that's there to enable us. I don't know which one of these you find particularly helpful, but let's take whichever of these illustrations that the Bible uses for the power of God. And remember what was read by John from Philippians, where he speaks about, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Do we know that power in our lives? Because that is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. That's what it's all about. And that is lasting when all the Easter eggs are finished. But there's no point having an Easter egg if you don't eat it. There's no point saying that, oh, happy Easter, unless we have our lives open to this power of God, unless we're plugged in to that power. And so we have the truth to be made known, with the power of God to enable us to do so. And that power is available to all Christians through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the third point was our obedience to make it known. How important it is that we seek to pass on that message. Because it is a dimension in which we live. Now, we started by having a wee leg pull about not sleeping in, because we've adjusted our watches, we've adjusted our clocks. Our obedience to make this known means that we adjust our priorities and we live in a new dimension. Just as the caterpillars, eventually they're designed to become butterflies. And the thing is, the sad thing is, if we're just focusing on the mechanical things that's going on in our world, and we're dependent on that, we're missing out this dimension that is offered to us, a dimension that is a dynamic for our living, and a direction in which our lives should go, a direction for our energy that spins off in the difference that God wants to make in and through our lives. That's pretty important, isn't it? So how are we getting on? You see, sometimes we're not very sure. In that case, it's important for us to keep on learning about the Christian faith. There are, for example, we've noted on the sheet for you to take home, two websites of interest. First of all, if you Google Bible Project Overview, if you like cartoons and have a visual mind, you might find that it contains an introduction to each of the books of the Bible, and it makes it come vivid and comes alive instead of just black and white print. And secondly, sometimes we get stuck to know what to say, and it's quite helpful to Google short answers to big questions. Then the second thing that's helpful for us to remember is that prayer isn't dependent on our feelings, but on the truth of God and the power of God and the challenge of God, this God to whom we pray. There's an old hymn, which, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it, which says, "Sometimes I don't feel much like praying." And it goes on, "But he speaks words of love just the same." You see, our worship isn't really dependent on our feelings, because sometimes we feel top of the world. And if we've got a flu hanging over us, we feel yuck. God doesn't yo-yo depending on whether we had flu or not. Our faith is dependent on the fact of the resurrection, rather than our own feelings. And therefore it is important that when we pray in the name of Jesus, a risen Jesus, because we come on Easter Sunday as an Easter people, and an Easter people are for every day. Easter may be over by tomorrow, but the challenge to be God's people is there, and the promise of God to be with us and to be working through us. How important that is, because he lives. What a difference it can make. There's a hymn that takes it and applies it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And it takes one or two examples. Thinking of young people, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days. Because he lives. Or perhaps we're thinking that towards the other end of life. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Sadly, there are all too many people who wonder if life is worth living. We've got the truth that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow, whatever it holds for us, just because he lives.